One day when I was driving, I don't know why I was tuned into AM. I usually am listening to Sirius Radio and Classical or something. But I heard an advertisement that indicated that a particular church was going to conduct classes on how to speak in tongues. Now that is the mysterious gift of the Spirit of which St. Paul spoke. The announcement stressed that a person could learn how to exhibit the gift of tongues on command. Well, as the message began to sink in, I thought, how brazen, how preposterous to think that anyone can command God's Spirit. It says in Scriptures, the Spirit comes where it will. How outrageous to believe that anyone can, in a manner of speaking, turn God on or off. From my experience, it seems more likely that God enters lives in unexpected ways and on unexpected days. I've learned this firsthand. I served a church a while back that had a most amazing woman who was so accepting and loving and caring. She did everything. She would do anything for anybody at any time. And I was bold enough one day to ask her what made her tick. And she replied that her attitudes stemmed from her grandmother. And then she shared the defining experience of her grandmother in the mid-1920s. Her grandmother was the parent of 8 children who lived in an area where anti-Catholic sentiment ran high. That happened in the 20s with the rise of the Ku Klux Klan in Indiana and around the country. Went from 100,000 to 3 million members in the 20s, and much of the Klan activity was against Catholics. Well, this grandmother, in fact, had a book that not only listed the supposed evils of Roman Catholicism, but pictured the Pope with horns, deep-socketed eyes, and a long pointed nose, and underneath the picture, and I've seen this picture, was a caption, "Agent of Satan." Can you believe that? Well, this grandmother was vehemently opposed to Catholics and even warned her children to stay away from them. This went on for several years. But some years later, this grandmother received word that one of her adult sons was seriously ill in a hospital in Kansas City, and she lived a couple hundred miles away, so she took a train to be with her son. She arrived at the hospital to discover that her son was in a Catholic hospital. All the nurses were nuns who at that time wore the long black habits, you know, and the sort of the headpiece. There were crucifixes in every room, and a priest made the daily rounds to offer the Eucharist to anyone who would like it. There was no getting around it. It was a Catholic hospital, and this grandmother was really upset about it. Well, her son was dying and only had a limited time to live. And so one of the nuns, a nurse, said to her, I know that you would like to spend a lot of time with your son, but our visiting hours are over at 8 o'clock. But if you leave at that time and at 9 o'clock come around to the back door of the hospital, I'll let you in. We'll sneak you up the stairs and you can spend the night with your son. Well, this grandmother did as the nun instructed, and the nun escorted her to her son's room. This went on for several weeks until the son died. But every night the nun would see that the grandmother was comfortable and how they were doing, and she'd bring apples and sandwiches and coffee through the night. And after this son died, this grandmother was never anti-Catholic again. Whenever anti-Catholic sentiment raised its ugly head, she would tell of how a Catholic sister loved and cared for her and her son. By simple acts of kindness, a nun had changed years of prejudice. Through this nun, God used the backdoor approach with this woman and her life. She and her family were changed forever, and it showed up in positive ways years later with this woman who was a member of my church. It's interesting how God works. It's wonderful that God can take our many experiences and turn them around. God has a fondness for back doors and has a habit of coming in unexpected ways. Sometimes God enters our lives through ways we really don't expect. I've never shared this in a sermon, but I'd like to share with you how I was called into the ministry. I was called into the ministry in a backdoor sort of way. I wasn't called at a church camp. I have a lot of friends who were called into ministry there, or at a retreat, or at a worship service, an evangelistic service, or a service where their heart was touched in a certain way. My call came a couple days after Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated in Memphis. I was in college in the suburbs of Chicago, and a call went out from the Ministerial Association of Chicago that they needed people to come in and into the area that had been where the riots had occurred in anger over the assassination, and they asked some of us to come in and in cars go up and down different streets to look for signs in a window that said apartment for rent, because a lot of people were burned out of their apartments and a lot of apartment people who own apartments didn't have the time or the money to advertise in the Chicago Tribune or the Sun-Times. It was just too expensive. So they just put a sign in the window. And so we were assigned to go up and down the streets to see where we could find some places to resettle folks. When I saw the smoldering buildings and saw the police presence and some of our American troops sitting on top of tanks in Chicago, there to keep the peace, to be sure. It was there and then that I received the call saying that maybe there's something I can do sometime to make our country a better place. Talk about something unexpected. I just went in as a sociology major and with a couple buddies, and we were driving up and we were assigned 40 square blocks. But I received the call to ministry that day. When God enters our lives, it may be through the back door of ordinary experiences. It may be at a time when we least expect it, as in the case of a LaPorte, Indiana couple who went to get away from the cold and snow for a couple of weeks, and so they took a Caribbean cruise. One nation they visited impressed them very much with its high mountains and its blue waters, great for snorkeling and scuba diving, and the artwork of the people and the beauty of the place. But several things shocked them: the abject poverty, the starving children, and the many diseases that were totally unknown in America at the time. Well, they went sightseeing. But while they were getting away from it all, God entered the back door of their hearts. And when they went back to La Porte, to their farm, they couldn't forget the children and the people of Haiti. And so they sold their farm and went back to Haiti, bought the old abandoned Cuban embassy, and made it into a hospital, which is now called Grace Children's Hospital, which has been serving the people now for a little over 50 years. This happened like 55 years ago when they went on this cruise. And since 1970, over 7 million Haitians have been inoculated against tuberculosis by the medical staff of this hospital. And they serve thousands of kids. I mentioned last week I've been on work camps. 3 of my work camps have been at Grace Children's Hospital. I love the place so much that they're in my will. And it all happened because of this one couple on a cruise who were touched by the Spirit of God. God has an amazing way of changing us. We have some friends who live in Seattle, and they love to tell the story of what happened to one of their daughters who was invited to a birthday party of a girl whose family is extremely wealthy. They have homes here and there around the world and have a big yacht. Well, the mother of the girl who was having the birthday party sent out notices to her friends that they were not to bring any gifts, but they requested that each person coming to the party would bring $10 or $15. Well, about halfway through the party, the mother of the birthday girl said that all of the girls at the party were to get to the various computers and iPads in the home and were to research through the internet the whole phenomenon known as microloans, where poor people in the third world can borrow $10, $15, $25, or $50 in order to get started on a home business, like getting a little money to buy a goat, to sell the goat milk every day, or to buy 2 or 3 chickens to sell the eggs, or to buy a net so they can go out and catch fish and sell fish. Well, the girls were told that they could combine their money or they could go solo and loan the money through the internet to a person in India or Bangladesh or Honduras or wherever, so the person could get started in providing a little income for their family. And do you know, the girls in the party were so excited. My friend's daughter loaned money to a woman in India so she could start a business as a seamstress. It's not a giveaway program. It's a program that loans money to those people who banks won't touch. So instead of having a party of self-indulgence, the girls came to a party that was to change the lives of so many people who are poor. And the girls who were at the party are now excited about doing things and helping people who have so little. I have to think that the woman in Seattle was inspired by the Holy Spirit. I mean, isn't that an amazing idea that she came up with? By her simple challenge to 15 or 16 girls, lives were changed. It's interesting how God impacts our lives. When God makes his entry, it may be through the back door of ordinary experiences. But isn't this how God has oftentimes worked? Jesus was God's backdoor approach to the human situation. When God couldn't get the attention of people through the prophets and a few kings who were righteous, and priests and sages, he used a new approach. A little baby boy born in a town about 5 miles south of Jerusalem. When God couldn't convince the poor that he really loved them because religion in those days catered to the wealthy, God allowed his son to be raised in a laborer's family. And make no mistake about it, Joseph was a craftsman. Worked hard with his hands. When God couldn't get the attention of the people and the clergy in the temple or the synagogue, he inspired Jesus to preach on the hillsides and in homes. I guess that's one of the reasons why Jesus always seemed to get in trouble with the religious professionals of his day, because they had the crazy idea that God could only be found in the temple in Jerusalem or in the synagogues scattered in every town across Israel. But you know, God knows no boundaries. God will influence people any way he can. The beginning may be as small as a mustard seed. It may come as a still, small voice like Elijah heard when all along he was expecting an earthquake or a wind. Or fire. Perhaps it's human nature to expect or long for a dramatic experience of God like Moses' encounter with God in a burning bush, a bush that would not be consumed. It was on fire, but it wouldn't be consumed. Or Mary Magdalene's discovery of an empty tomb on Easter morning, or Paul's encounter with Christ on a journey to Damascus. But we must be equally aware that God will often come in other ways, like in a still small voice, or in a heart strangely warmed. We may experience God via a newscast, where we say to ourselves, you know, I can do something about that situation. I can write a few letters. Or it might come in a conversation with somebody. Or a chance encounter. Or like that couple in La Porte, on a sightseeing trip, on a vacation. It might be an encounter with God through a book or a birthday party or a prayer. God has a fondness for coming in ways and on days we're not expecting him. God has a fondness for back doors. And so I've got 3 or 4 little questions for you. Is God knocking at the back door of your life today? What is God trying to say to you? Who does God want you to call? What does God want you to do for this church? Where does God want you to give of your time, effort, and and talent. You know, God comes in unexpected ways and on unanticipated days. And the truth of the matter is that the true evidence of God is that we end up where we hadn't expected to be. God has a fondness for back doors.